welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Today's call will feature a question-and-answer period. At that time, if you'd like to ask a question, you can do so by pressing star, then one on your phone. Today's call is also being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I'd now turn today's call over to Mr. Brian James. You may begin.
Good afternoon, everyone. This week's issue or call is slightly different from normal in that we are going to actually spend the bulk of the time on training for the new templates that will be utilized for the additional data collection. To that effect, we're going to start off with some introductory statements by Doug Pennington, and then we'll move forward with the presentation by one of the administrators of the HIOS system, and then turn things over to one of the administrators of the CMP system to cover the different templates and the changes that have been implemented. So at this point, I'll just turn things over to Doug and ask him to get started.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. We've received several questions from many of you asking us for clarification on a few of the new HIOS fields, so we thought we would proactively help provide that. We will be also providing these in writing after the call through memo. First of all, on grandfathered products, we wanted to make sure that you understood that an issuer should only mark yes in the grandfathered product field if 100% of the product is grandfathered. So if there are situations where you feel that you have a product that isn't 100% grandfathered, we would ask that you mark no. So in this case, again, just to reiterate, it's for products that are 100% grandfathered. We're doing this so that we can put on healthcare.gov the ability for a consumer to be able to see, especially in the small group market, if the product is a if it is a grandfathered product or not. And so that is our purpose behind this. Again, it falls in line with our mission to make sure consumers have the best information available in the marketplace to make the best decisions possible. And so if you have a product that is 100% grandfathered, please mark yes. Otherwise, mark no. Additionally, because of the opt-out feature or item was so confusing to many of the issuers over the, basically since the beginning of our data collection, we are clarifying open versus closed by creating clarifications on open versus closed. This actually provides issuers the ability to better discern what they mean by closed. The way that we're defining that is withdrawn from market. We're defining as these products that are they're products that no longer accept new enrollees and whose current enrollees are transitioning out of the product. Pending approval by the state are products that are awaiting state approval before actively marketing. Active only during annual enrollment period are products that are active for current enrollees and only accept new enrollees during annual enrollment periods. Active but not open to new enrollees, these are products that remain active, but you're no longer actively marketing or accepting new enrollees to them. And then association products is a residual category, so we're asking that you do not use that. And then there's other. This is included for especially unusual circumstances which do not fall into one or the other categories. It should be used sparingly and must be accompanied by an explanation in the other than closed reason field. Finally, again, on association products, the issuer will now use the required to, or excuse me, the we now ask that you identify whether or not the product is an association product on the product information tab. As a result of this new field, the value association has been removed from the product type field. Again, that way we can clearly identify what is and is not in the association market, what is readily available to consumers versus not readily available in the standard marketplace. All of these are designed to assist you in clarifying what you mean by what it is that you mark and for consumers so that we make sure that we display to them the information that will actually be available for them in the products and the plans underneath those products through healthcare.gov. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Brian James, and we'll begin the training portion of our session today. And I'll also remind you, again, we will be publishing this information out to you this afternoon. So I'm sure many of you will have continuing questions at the end of this training session, but please remember that the specific wording of all of this will be sent out to you this afternoon. Thank you.
And so all of you should have received the memo with the link to the webinar web address. Hopefully everyone has had an opportunity to log in so that you're currently viewing that slideshow presentation. Again, we'll be making that information available on the CSIO website later. But at this point, we're going to go ahead and get started. You should be seeing a slide for the Health Insurance Oversight System. And with that, I'm going to turn things over to Andrew with the HIO system to take us through that process.
Hi, everyone. My name is Andrew Adrian Carlin. I'll be walking you through the changes to the HIO's issuer data entry form. If we can advance the slide, please. Okay, we have one change to the issuer general info page. We've changed the titling on the issuer name to issuer legal name. And now we've broken out issuer marketing name. Issuer marketing name is an optional field for issuers who want to clarify they have a separate marketing name from their legal name. Your current issuer name will remain as your issuer legal name. And this shouldn't present a serious issue, hopefully. And that's the entirety of the changes to the issuer general info sheet. If we could advance the slide. The product info sheet has a number of changes, the first of which is the association product field. This is a required field, and we've pre-populated obvious association products. So anybody who's marked association as their product type, their association product field's yes. Also, if other describe explicitly said association, we've marked that as yes. For all others, I believe that the association product field is currently blank, and you will need to mark yes or no on that. If you could advance the slide. As Doug mentioned, the opt-out of Phase 2 field has been replaced with an open or closed field. And based on your selection in opt-out of Phase 2, we've pre-populated whether or not your product is open or closed. If your product is closed, you will need to enter a closed reason, and that's required if your product is closed. And then additionally, if you select other for closed reason, the if other please explain field is required. Let's see. Okay, if we can advance the slide. Finally, you can see the various options for closed reason. I think Doug went through those, so I won't restate them. But what I will say is that, again, closed reason is conditionally required if it is a closed product. So you will not be able to finalize your file if it is not filled in. Advance one last slide. Finally, the last addition to the grandfathered product field with yes or no. This is currently blank. It's a required field. Before you can validate and finalize, you'll be required to go ahead and mark yes or no in there. And that should encompass all the changes to HIOS. I'll turn it over to the representative from PlanFinder.
Hello, everybody. This is David Cordero, and I'm going to talk about some enhancements we made to CMP to accommodate future rate and or benefit updates, and specifically the enhancements we made were to eliminate any manual processing on our end, to capture historically these changes on the Enter Portal Plans page, and to also do a level of validation to make sure that the effective dates do not reflect any gaps in coverage or overlaps in coverage. Next slide. Before I actually go into the take you through the changes, just a couple of the key dates that you may have already seen in the HHS memo, but we did open up access to the templates and opened up all of the requests on Monday, and issuers may begin submitting their requests on May 16th, and the last day to submit an initial request is May 20th. The only change to templates is we made a change to the benefit template so that in the header of each column there will now be an effective date and end date. And it's important to note that that is the only change, and there are no changes below the header to any of the benefit categories. I'm going to take you through two different examples. The first example will be just one future rate and or benefit update, and the second example will be multiple future rates or benefit update. So if you're going to make a rate or benefit update, you go to the most recent CMP request from a previous update, go to the Enter Portal Plans page, and select each plan that will have a rate or benefit update. So you'll see next to each row that reflects a plan, there is a select column, and you would click on each of those radial buttons next to each plan that's going through an update. So let's assume we have, in this particular example, there are four plans, Saver, PPO, four different plans. Let's assume that the issuer is undergoing a July 1st rate update. You'd click on those four plans, and you'd click on the Clone Plans button to clone all of the checked plans. And you'll notice that we have cloned the four plans, and the clone plans now show up in yellow highlighting. You then need to change the effective date of the newly cloned plans to July 1st, and then change the end date of the old plans to June 30th. As I mentioned earlier, we are doing a validation to make sure that there are the effective dates do not reflect a redundancy. In other words, the effective date and end date cannot be the same. This is going to cause a redundancy and effective date error message. In this particular screenshot, the end date of the old plans and the effective date of the new plans is both July 1st. So we cannot have on that particular day the same plan with the old and the new updates effective on that day. You'll see that if that happens, you'll get a redundancy error message shown on this screenshot, and you cannot move forward unless the dates are corrected. We're also going to check to make sure that there's no overlap in the old and the new plan. If there is, you'll see an overlap in coverage error message. On this particular example, you'll notice that both the old and the newly cloned plans are effective May through June. The overlap in coverage error message will appear, as shown in this screenshot, and you cannot move forward unless this is corrected. There is one other error message that would appear, and that's a gap in coverage, where if the old and new plans have a gap, you'll get a gap in coverage warning message. In this particular example, you'll notice that the old plans have an end date of June 30th. The newly cloned plans are effective July 2nd, so there's a gap in coverage. Now, the gap in coverage warning message is shown on this screenshot. We made a decision that although we're going to alert the issuer that there is a gap in coverage, we are still going to allow the issuer to move forward if they desire to do so in the event that perhaps it is legitimate. So that's the behavior on the Enter Portal Plans page. Now, as far as the templates go, the clone plans will be added as highlighted columns in the benefit and rate template. And you'll only need to update these columns that are highlighted. So for a rate and or benefit update, the following templates are required to be completed. Both the benefit template and the rate template, the rate test cases and the test cases template, and you only need to provide the rating eligibility questions template if there are changes. I'm going to walk through the second scenario where there potentially could be multiple future rater benefit updates. Again, find the most recent CMP request from a previous update. Let's walk through a scenario where there's a rate update on July 1st and then another rate update on August 1st. Again, you would select the four existing plans that are in the request. You'd click on the clone button to clone all of the selected plans. You change the end date of the four existing plans to June 30th. You would change the effective date of the newly cloned plans to July 1st and also change the end date to those plans to July 31st, clone four more plans, and change the effective date to August 1st, and whatever the end date is in this particular example, let's assume December 31st. And again, all of those cloned plans would be highlighted. Both the July and August columns are going to show up within the same template. So, for example, if you have a rate update, the July 1st and August 1st columns will show up in both the benefit and the rate template. For rate and or benefit update, again, the following templates are required, both the benefit and rate template, the rate test cases, and again, only provide the rating eligibility questions template if there are changes. And that concludes the demonstration. Brian?
Terrific. Thanks, Dave. And so, in essence, we've tried to make, again, kind of minimal changes to get to where ultimately we're going with things. This should, I think, better represent the products as we've learned a bit about how you're operating, and I think the information on the CMP that allows us to create the same plan with different dates and different rates for those dates should hopefully make this easier on everyone moving forward so that you can enter it at a single time and hopefully decrease the burden overall. At this point, what I'd like to do is go ahead and open things up for questions. I'll go ahead and kind of direct the questions. So if it's a HIOS question, we'll have the appropriate person answer. If it's a question regarding the changes to the CMP, we'll turn it over to them. But operator, at this point, if you could instruct people on how to enter their questions.
Thank you. At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing star, then one on your phone. You'll be prompted to record your name, but I may introduce your question. Once again, that is star, then one to ask a question. One moment, please. Our first question today comes from Christine. That line is now open.
Question regarding the cloning of the plans. When we clone the plans, if the only thing that is changing is the rate, is there any chance that the benefits of the plan that you're cloning are going to carry over in that benefit template? So if there's minor changes, you can change them, but for the most part, we either don't have to retype it, or are we going to have the ability to copy and paste a whole column?
Yeah, and I'll let Dave answer this in terms of the particulars. With the current solution, I think you are going to have to enter those benefits, but you should be able to copy and paste. Dave, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Does that make sense, Christine?
Yes, thank you.
Perfect, thank you.
Our next question today comes from Jana. That line is now open.
Yes, so with the rates changing, so with the benefits, so we can copy the entire column, or will we have to copy it in sections?
No, you should be, well, below the header, you should be able to copy and paste the entire column. You don't want to copy the entire column, which includes the header, because those dates are what's essentially driving the change from point to point in time. Does that make sense?
Yes. And could you just reiterate again, so if we have a rate change, we obviously would have rate files that we'd have to change. You mentioned the questions. Would we have to update that file as well if we had rates with multiple dates?
Unless, generally, the information on the eligibility template isn't going to change. So unless you've changed, for example, how you handle which child gets rated first, you know, it's the eligibility questions in terms of that rate, what we call the rating eligibility template. Those generally wouldn't change, and so I wouldn't expect you would need to, but if you are changing the way your eligibility rules, you would want to go in and update those as well.
Okay, one last question. The attestation, is this going to change that process at all, or would the entire file just fall under the single attestation?
The entire file would fall under the single attestation. That is part of what we're trying to accomplish here, is not only making the data entry easier, but to decrease the number of times when you've got to go and get the CEO, CFO to attest. Generally, that information is known for an entire quarter. Clearly, if that information changes at some point in the quarter, you want to notify us. But we're anticipating that you should have your business plan in place for a quarter length of time at least, which would allow for an easier attestation process.
And can you explain how the marketing name will be used, and do we have to fill it out on the general tab for all states?
I'm not sure I understand the last part of the question. In terms of the marketing name versus legal name, currently we are populating the legal name on the website for these products. And there's been some confusion because we've wanted to allow consumers to see the marketing name as well, since that is how you want to represent yourselves to them. Moving forward, we are considering a variety of changes where we'll hopefully be able to represent the marketing name more prominently, probably in conjunction with the legal name. But this will give us the ability to make those changes moving forward. And so that's actually how we're intending to utilize the new field.
You know, this is Doug, and this is one of those situations where we've had requests from issuers for this type of information. We've had many requests to replace the legal name with the marketing name. We don't feel that that's necessarily appropriate. So this was our methodology of trying to adapt to try and have the best of both worlds, where we can make sure that the actual legal entity that the issue, that the insured, the consumer would possibly be able to buy insurance from is represented, while still making sure that the marketing name that they clearly that consumers are going to be able to identify with can also be represented.
Does that answer your question?
Yes. So what would we fill out on the CMP templates?
Yeah, and Andrew, can you answer that?
Well, on the highest template, fill out the legal name or fill out the marketing name, and that will populate inside highest. Each issuer, or in highest, is basically an issuer is an issuer state combination. So each issuer you have for each state, you'll want to fill out the appropriate marketing name there. Brian, I'm not sure about the appropriate steps to take in CMP to fill in marketing name, if you could.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I misheard the question. So our current directions on the CMP are that you can enter the marketing name, and we're not making a change to that. Okay? So it's essentially your preference. Currently, for the current version of the website and what will be going up in the next refresh, we'll be utilizing the legal name, but we are on a 2 to 3 week kind of refresh schedule, so we can incorporate changes And so we may be able to make adaptations to get that marketing name represented sooner. But for the initial release of this data, it will be what the consumer sees will be populated by that legal name coming out of the HiOS tool.
Just like today. So in other words, our goal is that we can incorporate both in the future, so we're trying to adapt for it now. But at the same point, what will be represented in the June refresh will be the structure that is current today. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question today did not have a name recorded. However, it comes from the line of Lisa Wall. That line is now open. Please make sure you check your mute button.
Hi. Do we need to clone the plans in CMP for enrollment changes only?
No.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Our next question today comes from the Arkansas Blue Cross Blue Shield. That line is now open.
Yes, I was just curious to know, we had our one of our products transferred over from eHealth originally, and we are still not able to make any updates within the CMP portal to that product. And I didn't know if there were any plans to make those products that were transferred over from eHealth to CMP available to the users. Thanks.
Yeah, no, and I tell you what, we'll follow up on this after the call. I'm going to ask that you go ahead and place a call to the your representative at eHealth. I wasn't aware that this was still a problem, and so I'll check into it from our end. But please make sure that you're just staying in touch with them, and I'll pursue it from my end as well, and we'll make sure that the issue gets resolved.
Can I get clarification? Thank you. Can I get clarification on which eHealth contact I'm supposed to provide with CMP or actually our account representative with eHealth?
Typically you would have been assigned a particular individual with the CMP help desk.
Yeah.
The likelihood is that that was the individual who was representing you prior to the implementation of the CMP. If they can't direct you to the correct person, send us an email to the OSIO plan finder at hhs.gov, and we'll make sure that they reach out to you.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely.
Our next question today comes from Michelle. That line is now open. Michelle Preston, your line is now open.
Okay, sorry. I figured there were maybe more than one Michelle. My question is, I know you had already stated that you can copy and paste the entire column, but I've been trying to do this for the past 2 days and cannot. You actually have to paste it in sections. There are some read-only fields that are headings that I guess you don't want anything in those rows that don't allow you to do that. Is that going to be changed, or should we continue to copy each column in sections?
And I apologize. My understanding was we could do the entire column. Let me check, Dave. Have we tested, and is that true?
To answer her question, there are not going to be any changes. If you have to copy and paste in sections, and please do it that way.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle.
Our next question comes from Rebecca. That line is now open.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. We have a question concerning the definition of grandfathered. And the statement that was made a little earlier was that we only mark yes if the product is 100% considered grandfathered. Our concern is what actually is referred to as grandfathered. Is it any product sold before March 23rd? Is that what you consider grandfathered?
We are considering grandfathered whatever your state is considering grandfathered. So we're basically mute on the issue. And so if your state and you have considered that product is a grandfathered product under whatever rules you have in your state, then that's what we are going by. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you so much.
Our next question today comes from Melanie. The line is now open.
My question was answered already. Thank you.
Thanks.
Moving on, our next question today comes from Christine. That line is now open.
Hi, thank you. I have one question for CMP and one for HIOS. Regarding CMP, the change to the benefit template, I know that the effective dates are now on the template. For this upcoming refresh, we don't have any changes other than that. Would we need to re-enter the information in the template and upload it, or can we just keep the one that we had previously used, even though the dates won't be showing?
I think the answer to that depends on what effective dates you're currently using and may be affected by how they were pre-populated within the CMP. So I'm going to turn that over to Dave. Dave, if someone...
Yeah.
Right, if so, they haven't made any changes.
So just so I understand, Christine, so you're having a benefit change only?
No, we don't have any changes. We wouldn't be making any changes to that template.
Are you having, so no changes at all, no rate changes, nothing?
No.
Then there is no action required on your end unless the, do you know the end date that you have for the benefits and rates that are currently on the site, if that end date is approaching, you may want to adjust that end date to further into the future.
Yeah, we were actually, we do have it end dated at second quarter, but actually our rates for the specific products that are out there won't change all year. So we were hoping to just put in 1231.
Yes, that's all you need to do. So just go into the portal plans page and just enter 1231 as the end date.
Okay, and we won't need to worry about the benefits template then?
No.
Okay, thank you. We have one other question about HIOS and the open-close section. I'm going to pass it over to someone else.
Yes, when we originally submitted the information to HIOS, we were told that we could list a product as closed if it had less than 1% of the membership across all of the zip codes that we offer the product in. Is that going to be one of the closed reasons, or are we now required to open that?
Yeah, I think there's some confusion in terms of the 1% rule applies to plans, okay? So if you have a plan that represents less than 1% in any given zip code, you do not need to report on the plan level information.
In CMP.
In the CMP. We do still want you to go into HIOS and enter it, and you can indicate that it is open because you are actively marketing it. But if there are no plans entered for it in the CMP, it won't get displayed, okay? But we'd prefer that you go ahead and just enter in the correct information, which is that it is open and you are actively marketing it, even if you don't want to go ahead and enter in specific plan information.
Okay, so we still list them in HIOS, but we don't have to list them in CMP.
Not if they don't meet the threshold by zip code.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question today comes from John. The line is now open.
Yes. Can you detail the August cloning of plans dynamic versus July and why July's won't just suffice all the way until the end of the rate effective period?
Yeah, I'm not sure I understand the question.
I thought from the training it says we have to clone plans in July, and then we got to clone them again 1 month later, for in August again.
You only have to clone them if the rate changes, and so if your rate changes at the end of July, then you have to essentially be able to clone it so you put the new rate for August. But if your rates are consistent throughout the quarter, then there's no need to clone.
Got it. Thanks.
Our next question today comes from Lynn. That line is now open.
I just want to clarify a question that was asked earlier with regard to rate changes. During the last submission period, we had rate changes, and after we submitted, we found out that we had to update the eligibility and rating question template, even though none of that information changed because it wasn't the same version of the rate template. And so I think I heard earlier that if you have rate changes, that you wouldn't need to fill out the eligibility and question template. But I want to clarify. So if that's the case, is eHealth able to accept those templates if they're different versions, or do you still have to transfer your data out of the old version of the eligibility and question template into the new version so that it'll all upload correctly?
Right. I think the issue last time was that there were new templates. And so this time that shouldn't be the issue. Dave, can you confirm that?
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. So you should not have, if there are no changes to the answers to any of those questions on the rate eligibility questions template, you do not need to fill it out. The last submission period, there was a new version of that template, and that's why you needed to complete it.
Okay. And then one other question. For plans who in their states are for child-only policies where they're able to just offer them on an annual open enrollment basis, but outside of that window they do not issue child-only policies. How are you to reflect that on the portal submission, or do those just not get reflected during that window?
Well, one question we have is, during this next quarter, will there be an open submission window?
There'll be an annual enrollment, yes.
Yes, so there is an annual enrollment during the next quarter.
Yeah, but it's only for part of that period.
Right. Then what we've been doing is we have you go ahead and mark it as open, and we have language that we've been working on that basically says that all products may not be open during the entire portion of the quarter.
Right. And so in terms of the CMP display, you'd want to use those effective dates, which will determine when it actually gets displayed on the site. And I'd encourage you to go ahead and call your CMP representative to have them walk you through how to affect that implementation. Okay.
So in other words, your product can actually end up only being open during the enrollment period.
Okay, well, all of the products that we offer are available for child only during the enrollment. And the rest of the year, it's just available to everyone else. And so we don't have specific products that are available to child only. And the only place that there's anything to do with child is on the eligibility questionnaire, which that's not date sensitive, or is it?
No, it's not. I don't know that we have an easy answer for how to implement that. In fact, I'm fairly sure we don't. I think at this point, what you may want to do is simply represent the plans in their majority representation, i.e., what they are available for when it covers the entire quarter or the entire period that you're able to identify. But I'd appreciate if you could send us an email to the OSIO Plan Finder email address, because that's an issue that we'd like to be able to address with you and make improvements moving forward.
Okay, I would assume there's probably other states and plans that may fall under that same, depending on what their states allow with regard to child only.
It wouldn't surprise me.
We do try to adapt over time as we identify more and more idiosyncrasies, but as of right now, we know we can't capture every unique circumstance, but we do want to try and capture them as we identify them and come up with new methods. So thank you.
Okay. And I'm assuming for product enrollment in HIOS that the enrollment that you enter in that column should be the enrollment for the grandfathered population if you've indicated it's grandfathered, or for the non-grandfathered if you've said no to that question?
Well,
or if you've said no and it represents both, it should be both?
It's the, if you say no, it's the total enrollment. If
okay.
you say yes, it's the total enrollment. Either way, it's the total enrollment.
Even if you have, okay.
Yeah, it's the total enrollment. And so if you if it is a grandfathered product and everything's grandfathered, then it's all grandfathered enrollment.
Okay.
But if it's not grandfathered under this data submission, it's still the total enrollment that you have for it, even
okay.
if you consider some of them grandfathered.
And when it's mixed, it's no?
Correct.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question did not have a name recorded. However, the question comes from the line of Nancy Moses. That line is now open. Please make sure you check your mute button.
Hi, I have a question. The only thing I'm updating is our rates, and I cloned the plans like you showed us and changed the effective dates. My question is, do I have to fill out this benefit templates again, even though none of the benefits are changing, or do I just upload a new rate file?
Right, and so I think the difference is on if you're cloning because there is a change in rates over the course of the quarter.
Right.
Then you would need to re-enter the benefits for that, the new period.
Plans.
Right.
Okay, so I'm seeing the same issue the other caller had where you can't really copy and paste more than a few cells at a time. But the bigger problem is that if you make a mistake and you paste something into the wrong cell, there's absolutely no way to delete it, and you actually have to start all over again. I found this last time with the rate sheets as well. And so what that forces you to do, particularly on the rates, is to manually enter all of these. Because if I manually enter it, I can delete it if I make a mistake.
Yeah, and actually, again, if you let us know, if there are particular concerns like this, even if they're of a technical nature, let us know, because we will work with our contractors to improve the templates to make them easier to work with.
Yeah, it's because it's extremely frustrating if you make a mistake when you're, you know, 90% done with the template and now you've got to start all over again.
Right, I understand. Dave, do you want to address this? Is there a possible solution for her?
We would have to take a look at that and get back to you, Nancy.
Yeah, it basically tells you the cells are locked, so you can't delete it after you've done paste.
It's actually the first I've heard of this.
Yeah. I actually brought this up with my, I guess, account representative last time, and she said that there wasn't anything you could do. But I find that hard to believe.
Well, and I think
some way to unlock those cells.
I think for her, there might not have been a way to fix it without implementing changes at a higher level.
Okay.
But we can implement changes in these templates moving forward if we can figure out better ways.
Yeah, if you could figure out a way we could copy the whole row, and if we can, you know, delete a cell if we've made an error, that would be great.
We'll work with the contractors to see what we can do.
Okay, great. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Our next question comes from Deb. That line is now open.
Hi, thanks. We actually have two HIOS questions, and then an associate of mine has a CMP question. On the memo from Doug Pennington, the HIOS and CMP templates now available for June refresh memo, I think this is probably a typo, but it says, in addition, enrollment should be updated as of March 31, 2010.
Yeah, that's a typo. Thank you for finding that.
Yeah, please do not update all of your information to the older date.
No.
No, that should be March 31st, 2011.
Good, okay. I did download the new template today and attempted to print it, and I don't know whether this is operator error on my part or some sort of lockout in the template, but even with legal paper, I couldn't get it to print past the SURF number column. I couldn't get the new columns. Has anybody else had that issue?
No one has reported it to me, but I don't know if the IOS templates have been optimized for printing. Andrew, does that seem consistent? Is that an issue you've seen before?
It is an issue we saw recently. We do have a workaround if you want to reach out to the IOS help desk. We can provide you with instructions to get it printed properly.
Okay, that would be great. Thank you. And now the CMP question.
Hi. I just wanted to check. We had rate changes effective April 1st for individual market, and then we will have subsequent rate changes for July 1st. and I just wanted to kind of walk through how this was happening, since this is a refresh is going to take place for June. You know, when we clone the plans, are we cloning them and putting the April dates in and that information, and then do we have to, again, put subsequent information in for July, or?
I think the issue here is that you would first want to update the information on the plan that incorporates the initial rate period. Then you would want to clone that to create the new dates for the new rates starting with the July 1st. Dave, is that accurate?
Yes, that is accurate, bearing in mind that we are going live with these updates on June 22nd.
And I think that there's going to be a lot of other insurers who have the same problem because of the quarterly changes. And I guess my concern would be is that, you know, do you go into then the old template and make all the changes and use the old template to put in the April rate and then hit clone and will that update?
Well, okay. So what I would do is I would make the April rate effective on June 1st, because you really can't use an old date. It needs to be a current or future date. And then, so you'd clone the plans, change the effective date to June 1st, provide the rates and benefit templates, et cetera, and then you would have to clone for the July 1st rate update as well. So you're going to have June 1st plans and July 1 plans. And again, getting back to my issue that, you know, we're going live on June 22nd, most people coming to the site would be looking in July effective date. But, you know, it's your preference as to how you want to handle it.
I mean, we wouldn't have any problem with it just going with the July 1st. The only problem is that, you know, we would just have the end date be what we have now, which would be March 31st. There would be a gap, and that wouldn't sync with what you said.
Right.
You want to enter in the appropriate dates for the appropriate rate structures. And so, you know, recognizing that, you know, there are occasionally, even with a quarterly refresh, there are going to be small gaps or small periods that are a little bit out of sync. One of the purposes of going to quarterly, though, is to decrease those so that we don't have one of those every month. We only have one of those little periods every 3 months. So my recommendation would be to go in, enter the rates for the appropriate periods, and you can make those determinations.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I just want to make sure. Are you saying then to put the two sets in, to put the rates in for April and then clone it, or can we just put in the rates for July 1st and leave the end date for, you know, the end of?
You really should be putting in both sets of dates. And as Dave pointed out, because, you know, the system's really not designed for you to be backdating, he's recommending that you input a June 1st date for what was actually your April rate change, and then go ahead and input the clone it and input the July rate change dates. So that way you're accurately reflecting what your rates are for the consumers on healthcare.gov within the correct date frames. Does that make sense?
Any questions?
And again, if you know, when it gets to the details of your particular implementation, you really should feel free to call the CMP help desk, and they can walk you through the details of how to do it.
Okay.
All right.
So basically, if we do put in two sets of information, the system will be able to do it, handle it in one refresh.
Correct. That as long as the date, you know, don't overlap, that's the entire point of this.
So that we can basically make sure that with quarterly refreshes, you're able to show consumers accurate rates within the quarter as your rates change.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question today comes from Brad. That line is now open.
Just a clarification question on the dates. Is there any guidance as to how far out that we should be loading these dates for, or should we just assume that there's going to be another refresh that will go live sometime in September, so we at least need to have rates through September loaded during this refresh?
We don't have guidance written on that. We will be doing a refresh in September. You definitely, if you have active plans under a product over the course of that period, you want to make sure that you're extending out at least that far. You can extend out farther, though, if you wish, and given that we have not established the exact date on the September refresh, I think it would be advisable to at least make sure you have all of September covered.
Is there a limit to how far out we could go? I mean, could we load rates through the end of 2012 if we knew what they were?
Technically, I believe the answer is yes, but there may be changes coming that if that's a substantial amount of work, I don't want to encourage you to do so at this point, because I want to make sure that this system is actually operating smoothly before we invest entering all of our rates for 2012. Is that fair?
Okay. Yep. Looking back at my notes from the last call, I seem to recall you saying something about adding rate effective dates to CMP, and what it looks like is you're using the existing, you know, start and end dates as those sort of rate effective dates, and that's then causing us to have to clone plans and copy paste within the benefit template.
That is not a bad assessment of what has happened.
Okay, so we have to basically, you know, duplicate a bunch of things that are otherwise the same. You know, the benefits are the same. We have to enter, like, enrollment by plan as many times as we have rates, right? The same number in the portal plans page, we have to enter that same number, you know, six times if we have six different rate periods.
Yeah, no, agreed. This is why I was saying I would not invest in the full entry of all of your information through 2012,
mm-hmm.
Because I think we are going to be able to make improvements in the way we enter this data moving forward.
Yeah, this is a short-term solution that we wanted to make sure we got out to you as quickly as possible. It's not our permanent solution.
Okay. And then my last question just has to do with the sort of overlaps in information requested between HIOS and CMP, and I'm not sure if this is the right form for it, but I'm just curious the extent to which the same information is requested under provide contact information is also in HIOS. Can you help us understand which set of information is used and whether we're going to continue to have to enter the same information in multiple places?
Right. And to the extent that you have concerns, let me first indicate, please do reach out to us through that OSIO Plan Finder email address. We are very careful about making sure that we read all those emails and address those as appropriate. In terms of the overlap, again, there has been a historical situation that meant that certain fields that probably are now overlapping were not always overlapping. And by that, I mean there might have been different contacts for the HIOS data entry as well as for the eHealth data entry. In general, it has been our understanding that that's not much of a burden because at this point they don't change very much. We are making efforts to eliminate certain overlaps in the two data collections, really I'm not sure what more to say about that at this point, but by all means reach out to us and let us know your concerns and suggestions, because as you've indicated, we intend to make improvements and we are very much interested in making improvements that will adapt to your needs and what's going to be easier for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question today did not have a name recorded. However, it comes from the line of Victoria Foster. That line is now open. Please make sure you check your mute button.
Yes, I had two questions. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. At the beginning of the call, you were talking about association plans. I think it's the HIOS template that you have to check yes or no whether a particular plan is an association plan.
Uh-huh.
Do you consider chambers, chamber plans, association plans or not?
Yes.
They are, okay. And is there a difference between association plans and associated plans?
Typically speaking, no. Because associated plans are, again, plans that are offered through some form of an agreement where they're not generally open to anyone and everyone on the planet without having to be associated with some other organization or entity. Do you agree?
Yes, I agree. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question today comes from Mary. That line is now open.
Hi, this is Mary Blair calling from Aetna. I have a question in regards to when we have products, benefits, and or rates that are not approved by the time that the window closes, however we get approval thereafter, and how we'll be handling those types of situations. Will we be allowed to have an off-cycle release?
Yeah, and it's a great question, Mary. We currently have a plan in place to make kind of mini opportunities within the quarter to update that information. So in essence, for example, you enter things as closed products within HIOS, and that is because they haven't received approval. We will be communicating to you how you can then go in, make corrections, and when those would get refreshed between HIOS and the CMP.
But we do not yet have that in place.
Okay. And then if we just had rates, we have 7-1 rates that we're eagerly awaiting for, and they may come in right after the closure of the refresh window, and we'd want to get those in, otherwise we would have to suppress those plans.
Yeah.
So would we have some opportunity to get those rates in as well?
As of right now, until we have another methodology in place, those would be closed pending approval by the state.
Okay.
So you would close the product pending approval by the state, and no, we do not yet have the methodologies in place to allow you to unclose them between refreshes. Now, that isn't to say that we won't come up with that methodology, but we're honestly working on that. And so, it's one of those, I guess it's, we get to say, coming to an opportunity near you in the future, but not yet.
Okay, great. We'll look forward to hearing more about that. In the past, we haven't had an opportunity to make corrections to our HIOS submission. Usually, if we have any problems with that, the data that we provided that went through, we are notified after the window closes. Will there be any opportunity in this submission or future submissions to make any kind of corrections to that HIOS data?
Essentially, the answer is the same as the last one. We do intend to allow for corrections to be made or updates to be made during the quarter, but we really haven't established the schedule for that yet, Mary.
Okay.
And so we will be reaching out to you on what those opportunities are going to be, but we need to finalize those plans before we communicate them.
Wonderful. And my last question is in regards to, and this is just really getting a confirmation, we have several states that are having rate-only changes for this refresh. The rate changes are effective 7/1, so we would have no benefit updates whatsoever. And I just want to make sure I understood what you explained to the other callers. What we would be doing is cloning the existing plans and putting in the end date as 6/30 per se, and then we'd have a 7/1 effective date for those 7/1 rates. We would also need to create benefit templates, even though the benefit data is not changing, and have to submit benefit templates for those states. Is that a correct assumption?
As stated, I believe that is correct. Dave?
Yes, that is a correct assumption.
So if we have 7/1 and 8/1 rate updates, we have to do the benefit template. We'll have column for 7/1, then 8/1. And some of our states have a lot of plans, so it's a little painful having to put all that data in and copy it and paste it in to the template when the benefits aren't changing at all.
That is true, but the other positive side is that we're not doing monthly refreshes where you would have to do it every month anyway. So we're trying to, you know, in this case, we are hoping to have better methodologies in the future where you will not have to go through that for redundant information. But in the short term, it does mean that you are going to have that unfortunate step. But again, at least we're not having to do it on a monthly basis either.
And that's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mary.
Our next question today comes from Jana. The line is now open.
Thank you. Earlier you mentioned with the open and closed with the less than 1%, and you indicated to mark it as an open, but then you would not be putting the information in CMP, which means that the information would not flow into the portal for the consumer. However, what if you have group plans? Because then that doesn't methodology doesn't work because we don't populate them into CMP.
Well, for a small group, so we're not putting.
Let me restate it this way: the 1% rule only affects plans. There is no 1% rule for products, and so the expectation is if you have an open product that you will be inputting the open products into HIOS, whether it's for individual or small group. And so if it doesn't meet a 1% threshold or not, it does not matter. The expectation is if it is open, it is in HIOS. And so that way that product, small group product, would show up on healthcare.gov in the list of products that you have available for issue for consumers for that given state. Now, if it is an active product that you're not accepting enrollees for, you know, that would be one of those examples of a closed product that you can still list as closed. But if it's an open product that you are actively seeking enrollees, it just doesn't hit the 1% threshold, it should still be listed in HIOS as open. Does that answer your question?
So to say that further, with the closed reason saying withdrawn from the market, mm-hmm. is that our decision? Meaning, for example, if we are currently withdrawing a product or a plan from the market, but it's not yet completely closed out of the state, because I know you have to go through a process to get it removed from the state. If it's still with the state, but we are not actively seeking enrollment, we can close it and say withdrawn from market?
Correct. Yeah.
Well, the question becomes this. I mean, withdrawn from the market in most states has a special connotation. So if you've sent notification of withdrawal, then that would be when you'd know withdrawal from market. If it is an active product that you are no longer accepting new enrollees and so you are in the process of beginning the withdrawal from the market, that would be active but not open to new enrollees. Do you see the difference?
Okay. And that's the same that we would use for the grandfathered. We would say active but not open to new enrollees, and it would be grandfathered.
Well, no, grandfathered is a separate issue. grandfathered is if the product is grandfathered and 100% of the product is grandfathered, then you just put yes. That may be a closed product line. It may be an open product line. In some states, you can continue to sell grandfathered product. So that depends upon your state and what's allowable in your state as to whether it's open or closed. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question today comes from Ann. The line is now open.
Hi, I had a question about the quarterly concept for data collection. I understand that this refresh is June 22nd. I just wanted to reiterate, make sure that I understood from a previous caller's perspective. If we have, for example, a rate change that occurs on a monthly basis, at this point in time, I should be entering and cloning the plans accordingly so that I can reflect a rate change that could happen in June, July, August, September, and potentially even October.
Correct.
Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I needed. Thank you.
Of course. Thanks.
Our next question today comes from Eric. That line is now open.
Good afternoon. I just have a quick request. Could we, when you send out the memo this afternoon after the meeting is done, could you also send out the presentation, the training presentation, so we can use that as a reference?
I can't commit to absolutely doing it. I will say, Eric, that we'll try. Somebody's trying to mention something to me on the side. I can't send it out until we have made it accessible.
Okay.
And my understanding is that it may already be in that form, and if so, we'll go ahead and make sure it's released, either included in the memo or provide the link to a location where it will be posted.
Okay, that would be great. Thank you.
Brian, it's David. Also, the technical instructions out on CMP have been updated to incorporate what was just presented.
Terrific. So that's another source where you'll be able to get it, Eric.
Okay, good to know. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Our next question today comes from the line of, I believe the name was Ken Lobenthal. That line is now open.
Close. This is Catherine Lobenthal. Question, we're going to be updating our enrollment data and application data in HIOS, of course, and then the only change we're making to CMP is that enrollment membership column on the Enter Portal Plans tab. Everything else stays the same. So to clarify, since we are making a change to CMP, CFO attestation is required, correct?
Correct.
Even though it's just the enrollment count?
Correct.
Okay, just wanted to clarify. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question today did not have a name recorded. However, it comes from the line of Christina Guerrero. That line is now open. Please make sure you check your mute button.
Hi, thank you. My question was kind of off another question earlier where the person mentioned there was no changes to rates or benefits. However, it was recommended that we go into the Enter Portal Plans page and change the end date so that it would be effective through the end of when those rates would be would be effective for. So we were going to change them all the way through the end of the year. Now, do we need to go in and update those effective end dates on the rate templates that were previously loaded?
That's a good question. Dave, I think if we have the effective dates and the end dates through the end of the year, we should be okay. Is that correct?
Yes. I would just update the end date on the Enter Portal Plans page, Christina.
Okay, so it does not need to match up with the end date though for these files that were previously loaded for the rate?
No.
Okay, that was my question. Thank you.
Our next question today comes from Stephanie. That line is now open.
Is it Stephanie Miller?
It is Stephanie.
Okay. This whole process is very new to us. We'll be submitting on the individual products for the first time.
Okay.
And We just want to, since it's new, we want to make sure. We have a couple questions, and I don't know if this is the right forum necessarily, but tell me if it's not. The one question I had is, when we're entering information, will we get error notices? If we've made a mistake on something or have, you know, omitted something in error, are we going to get something right away, or does it happen after you submitted everything and then we get something back?
Yeah, and unfortunately, the answer is sort of, it depends on what the error or the problem is. In general, when you go through for the HIOS templates, for most of the things that would be considered an error, other than you entered the wrong something other than what you meant to enter, you will see when you go to save the template, it has the checks kind of built in, and you'll get a fairly immediate analysis.
Okay.
For the CMP templates, there are various fields where you will get a more immediate notification. So, for example, where he was talking about the enter new portal plans, and we have reproduction of the same day across two plans that are meant to be the same plan. So there are some inbuilt checks, but there is also a review process of those templates, since the information is more extensive. And so we do reviews on our end and then review them and check back in with you to notify you if we found a larger particular error.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's a little bit of, you know, we've done what we can to give you the more immediate feedback, but for some things, you know, we just don't have automated checks built in quite yet. And I don't know, Dave, was my answer adequate, or do you think there's something else to add there?
I think it was adequate, yes.
Okay.
Does that answer the question?
Yeah, it does. I guess, you know, depending on the amount of trouble we have, being it will be the first time, you know, is there any type of extension available if you notice that, you know, we're getting a lot of errors back or just missing information? Is there any workaround there?
Yeah, there aren't really extensions, but please do utilize those contacts at HIOS and the CMP. If you're having particular problems, they generally are very good at working with you to get them resolved. You know, again, we have basically a dead date at the end in terms of when we can allow for corrections and submission. If you should find yourself at the very end needing an extension, you can communicate to us what the problem was, why you desire it, and depending on the particulars, it's theoretically possible.
But not likely.
But not likely.
Okay. Okay, and then just one other question. Again, it's sort of more of a general question. Do you have any feedback as to how other carriers handle the submission of this information? So, for instance, is it being funneled through one particular area? And if so, what is that area? Is it, you know, product, marketing, or is there the ability, or, you know, do people take advantage of being able to submit the information from various sources?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I can't help you with that question. You know, if you have others in the industry that you want to contact, you may want to do so, but unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to help you with that.
Okay. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question today comes from Glenn. That line is now open.
Hello. On the HIOS template updates, the open-closed field, now, if there's a particular product that has multiple plans within that product, how would that be addressed?
Right.
What do we do when some plans are open and some are closed within the same category, within that same product?
Let me ask you a quick question on this.
Sure.
A plan is just the deductible level of a product, and so I'm not quite sure how you could have some deductible levels that are open and some deductible levels that are closed. I mean, plans are just a cost-sharing representation for pricing purposes that we created, and so how would you have that?
Well, I'm thinking if within an HMO product there you'll have, let's say, a portfolio of 10 particular HMO plans within the HMO product.
Yeah, but remember, I think you're cross-pollinating what industry would call a product with what we call a portal product.
Okay.
And so the portal product would be a particular set of cost-sharing and benefits that have been approved at the state level. The portal plan is really just a lower representation of that product set, you know, specific to a cost-sharing level that can represent a specific price for a specific individual. Does that make sense?
It does, yes.
So you typically can't have the scenario you just represented.
Right. But that, and so essentially if the product is open, so that you have different representations of that product through what we're calling different portal plans, then the product is open, right?
Okay.
And you would just enter the appropriate portal plans through the CMP.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question today comes from Lynn. The line is now open.
Oh, question's been answered. Thanks.
Perfect.
Moving on, our next question today comes from Rochelle. That line is now open.
Hi. I know we've brought up the end date and start date several times, but we're just trying to get our heads around what value you're trying to achieve by us entering that end date and start date on the benefit template.
In essence, the issue is it's a technical one rather than a functional advantage. In point of fact, I don't think there is a, you know, kind of functional advantage to getting those rows, multiplied many times. The issue is that given the tool that we're working with, that was the best way to implement the date structures so that we could allow you to enter differing rates based on the dates. So it really was a compromise to achieve what we wanted to achieve, and we are working with the contractors to try and develop a more streamlined process moving forward. But I mean, in terms of the current structure, that's the way we have to implement the different dates and the different rates associated with them.
Does that answer your question?
I think so. Thank you.
Our next question today comes from Brad Carter. That line is now open.
Hello. I called in for another reason, and I'd like to ask that question too, but I can't help but respond to a question and answer series I heard about three questions ago. I think I heard you all say that you could not, in theory, have a plan that's closed under HIOS product and another plan that's open under the same HIOS product.
Actually,
and I would say that you absolutely could.
Right. No, that's really not what we're indicating. What we're indicating is that within HIO, you have a product which is either open or closed.
Right.
Okay? Right. Right.
And then there are plans that are associated with that open product. Right. So when you're dealing with the CMP, those things that you are marketing, those plans within that product that you are marketing should get entered.
Right. So you can't have a product that is both open and closed is the point. Not that you can't have plans underneath it that aren't open and closed, but you can't.
Okay, so your point is the plans that you would reflect in CMP would be the open plans because those are the only plans that would be put on the CMP portal.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, because I want to make sure you realize that there'd be plenty of plans under that HIOS product that you wouldn't be putting in CNP and would be closed.
We know that.
Right. Okay. All right, because that's one of the complicating issues that we've had. And then the real reason that I called was to clarify, I know this call has not been specifically about small group, but we've been waiting in great anticipation of some decisions that we thought that y'all would be making as we approach the September date for small group. And you were going to basically lay out some potential simplifying approaches to make small group work better than it did the first time.
It is our hope to begin those conversations in May.
Okay, because I'm concerned that decisions are being made, because if you just start talking about it in May, there's a tremendous amount of work that will need to take place to if we land anywhere near the direction that...
Here's what I can share with you.
Okay, great.
Share it quickly. It is our current anticipation that we will have small group benefit and cost-sharing information at the plan level available in the September refresh, but we are not anticipating rating available until January.
And I understand that, and that does help out, particularly on the actuarial side of the formula, but it's still... leaves very complex issues, huge volumes for some states of plans based on the definition that you're using for a plan that are very problematic.
Absolutely, and that's what we want to work out, and that's why we're having the conversation starting hopefully in the next 2 weeks.
Okay, wonderful. I'd want to make sure that we're not missing something, and then all of a sudden we're going to have a change that we don't still have time to implement the change for
September.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question today comes from Anna Marie. That line is now open.
Yeah, hi. I just have a quick question. I think you may have answered it, but I know you said for small group you're looking to put this in the September refresh. So our next refresh for individual market would be in September for October 1st. So any October 1st rates we would not have to be concerned about at this time, correct?
That would be a fair assumption.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Our next question did not have a name recorded. However, it comes from the line of Rebecca Yeakel. That line is now open.
Hi, I just have a question about the CNP templates. The memo actually states that there's an update to the benefit template, and that should be version 3, but there wasn't any mention to the rate templates. And I just want to make sure that all of the rate templates should still show version 2.
I believe that the version number is still the same. You will, if you update the rate templates being populated from the benefits templates, which is generally the way this works, if you are entering in new plans, you may want to utilize the templates from the download, but the version number, I believe, is still the same on those templates. Dave, again, reality check and whether I'm off base or not.
Yes, the rate template version has not changed since the last submission period.
Okay.
So does that answer
Thank you very
question?
Much.
Thank you.
Our next question today comes from Brad Johnson. That line is now open.
Just a quick association question since we're running out of time. Can you just confirm that if a product is marked as an association product that it will not appear on the plan finder?
That is correct.
If it's an individual, yes.
No, well, if it's marked as an association product, it will not show up on the plan finder.
Okay, and then if we offer large group products to small groups through associations, should those be reported in HIOS? So it's not a small group product that we're offering, but through the association, small groups can purchase large group products?
We utilize state definitions at this point, and so until further guidance comes out, I would follow whatever the state rules are for the how they're supposed to be reported through the state.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. And I do want to indicate to people, we are, I believe, at 3:30. I think we can go ahead and take two more questions if there are questions. Operator?
At this time, we have no questions in queue.
Okay. Then I'm going to go ahead and thank everyone very much for your participation. I hope that the presentation was useful in terms of making the new data entry. But I also appreciate all the questions, and I do want to encourage you again for any issues, policy-level questions, or comments about things that we may be able to improve. Please do use that OSIO plan finder at hhs.gov email address and let us know what you're thinking. We'll be reaching out to you this afternoon with a memo regarding some of the current data elements that we talked about in today's call, and then we'll be reaching out to you hopefully soon about additional elements that we're going to be factoring in, including small group. But we probably won't be having that particular conversation for another couple of weeks yet. All right. So thanks, everybody. And operator, take it away.
That concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation.